Hello, beautiful queens, and join me as we open up conversations that help women walk through difficult transitions and inner healing while unleashing the potential that God has placed within all of us to become untamed and unchained. In each episode, you'll get the tools and resources to create the change in your life that you desire as you unleash your vision, your gifts, and your voice and your confidence to live the life of your dreams. I give my listeners and clients love and support. However, I do take the direct approach and we cut out that BS in your life. So instead of playing small, you can create big leaps into your life. Now let's dive into this episode. Hello, queens. I feel a little rusty, to be honest with you. Like I had done some batch content creating. Wowza. First of all, we're just going to take a hot split second to say this. Like, it's in my PMS week, so my words get a little mumble jumbled and might be all over the place. So come on in for the wild ride. Join today. Thank you for being here, queen. I am so proud of you for taking the time to listen. And I also want to truly say that I honor you for like investing in yourself and being here and allowing me to speak into your life and talk about my life and come on here. And sometimes it's a bit of a chatterbox. One of the biggest things that I always do is aim to give you a tool to walk away with and implement in your life to create the change that you're desiring. Because if you're here, then that clearly shows me that I know that you know that you're born for something more, that you've got greatness in you, and God has placed incredible potential in you. You are a powerful woman, and I see you, I love you, and if we have not met, then go over on Instagram and connect with me there. So now, upon being said and getting into today's episode, and what I was saying is when Christmas time was, I have an editor who does editing for my podcast. And so she was taking a break. And so I like batch created. And now I'm like, when you like know how to ride a bike and you haven't ridden one for a while, you never forget how. But I just feel like I'm a little crusty, rusty right now. And it is January and it is like 5 degrees here in Ohio. However, the sun is shining and Leona is learning to love winter. Honest confession, I will never be a winter girly, like full blast. I do appreciate the fact of like this slowness of it now, which for the first time in my 42 years of my life, I can actually say that. It began last winter, and this winter it's going much, much deeper. And which is what I'm going to talk about today is having an addiction to being a workaholic. And is perfect for the season of being in the winter and where everything slows down, goes inward. If you look at nature, animals go in hibernation. Us humans get to go in hibernation. And how I used to struggle so badly with winter, I hated it. I got severe depression. And I used to just think like it was bipolar. I was like, I think I might be not bipolar as in the regular bipolar, but I was like, I feel like I'm bipolar as far as when it comes to weather, like if I don't have sunshine. Now, I will say I still don't thrive well if there's not much sunshine. However, with that being said, I'm learning to slow down and open myself up to receive the slowness that comes with winter, which brings me to talking about being addicted to work and busyness. And it's a real thing. And I was listening to a podcast episode last week that really, like, it made me cry. I felt seen, I felt heard, and I felt understood because nobody really talks about having the addiction to work, what it's like to actually detox from that, what it's like to actually break that addiction, and what it's like to recover from it, and what is wrapped around it. And most of my life, I had everybody say about how hard I work and you need to slow down. And my mom was one of the biggest ones in my life that, would always say, Leona, you're going to work yourself to death. And literal fun fact, it is in my dad's bloodline to do so. My dad's one brother passed away at a very young age, literally because he just worked himself to death. So we have that. That runs in my dad's bloodline, and my brother and I are breaking that in our generation. My brother has gotten a lot better with it. He has also helped me as far as that goes. He has had conversations with me on it. There was like several different factors that were flowing into this addiction. And whilst we can talk about drug, alcohol, sex, porn, all of those addictions, and basically, if you have done drugs or alcohol, sex, porn, you no longer do it. But there's still the root issue of it. You just choose not to drink alcohol again. It's a choice that you make moment to moment, day to day. You wake up and you choose not to do that, not to touch it again. And there's a much deeper work that goes into than just making that choice. Because if you're just making that choice, you're not doing the deep inner work. But what I want to say is when you're recovering from being a workaholic, it's not every day just choosing not to work. Work is a part of our life. It's learning how to navigate it. And the thing with being a workaholic is it covers the pain, just as it does with any addiction that one has had, of not feeling worthy or not feeling lovable. And we learn how to have hits of dopamine to create value in our life. Got addicted to it because if for me personally, in my own story, and I'll give my own example of how mine worked and how mine like spiraled and went into this whole kind of hurricane, was as a child, I internalized that I am lovable and I am worthy when I work hard. If I am not working hard and not doing great things, solving problems, then there is something wrong with me. And because of my mom's mental health issues, now looking back and knowing what I know, my whole nervous system was in fight and flight and has been in survival since I was like 9 years old. My world was chaotic. I never knew from day to day what it was going to be like coming home. And I was always on the edge. I was always solving the problems. And that just snowballed into a deeper thing of, once I was a teenager and I could get a job, now what that did for me was it took away the pain from being at home and trying to navigate the emotional roller coaster in the household. Now I was getting a hit of going to a job and working, which there is nothing, let me clarify, there is nothing wrong with work. Like it's wonderful if you want to work. I love working still to this day. It's just learning how to not be addicted to it and have it control your life. And so I became addicted to that, to creating income for myself and creating freedom in my life so I wouldn't need to be at home. Then I got married and I had children. And I was addicted to like keeping the house clean. I was always bringing in an extra source of income. Even when I was a stay-at-home mom, I sewed clothes for other people. Like people would just have fits about the amount of sewing I would do in the short amount of time and for the amount of people that I would do it for. And so I would also like entertain and I would invite people over and all of those. I was always on the go. And my mom would always be like, Fiona, you need to learn to slow down. You need to learn to rest. And I was just like, well, I can't, you know, I have so many things. You don't understand. One of the big statements that was always running through my brain was, you don't understand what it's like to be me. You don't understand. I have all of these things to do. You don't understand. If I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. And so this rolled over, like my kids were getting older, left the Amish, and then I began my own cleaning business. And when I began my own cleaning business, it started out a slow and steady thing. And I began to experience once again the freedom that it would bring because the person that I was married to did not have good money management. And I hated living under that lack. I hated living under what his money management would be. If you watch this and if you see this, this was a repeated pattern that I was repeating in my childhood. Hated being at home, hated the roller coaster ride of not feeling in control. Hated the fact that somebody could drag me down and that I'm always solving problems. Here again, money. Hated the fact that it was dragging me down. Hated feeling out of control. felt the need to solve problems, but didn't want to solve the problem that was happening there. So I solved the problem going into inside of myself. Then as the marriage was ending, we had hit bankruptcy. Now it escalated into a whole next level. I just went, in all honesty, I went balls to the wall and I worked until I could almost not work anymore. And I've shared this before, like I was working 15 jobs, had 3 kids, and ended up leaving my marriage. And I was emotionally numb. All I knew to do was to go work. And I just felt like I always had this thing, well, if I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. I always felt so alone in my world. I felt like the weight of the world was crushing on my shoulders. And if I didn't do something, the world was going to fall apart. Well, let's go back a little bit and backtrack. When we go back to my childhood, if I didn't solve problems, there was a chance my mom was going to end up in the mental hospital. She did several times. So what that trained my mind is that if I don't solve problems really quickly, there is going to be a crisis. There is going to be life and death on the line. That was what was ruling my subconscious mind. But what gave me a hit of power, what gave me a hit of feeding my false identity, what gave me a hit of not feeling like the victim was to go to work, to solve that problem for somebody else and to do something so I wouldn't feel the deep depth of the emotions on the inside of myself of, I don't really feel like I'm lovable if I'm just being me. I don't feel like I'm worthy of just being me. I don't feel like just because God created me and I'm his daughter and I am just simply being, that is enough as a human being. And so I just kept going and I kept going and I kept going, and it was this big snowball effect until I finally ended up in the ER room and I wrecked my health, like literally destroyed my health. Then I had this like whole aha moment of, oh my gosh, all my kids have is me. There's just one me. I need to take care of my health. And I had no one, like my mom kept saying, she's like, I'm going to slow down. Please slow down. She's like, I know that you're a single mom. I know that you feel like you need to do this, but you don't. There's other ways. But I couldn't see it because the extent of the pain was so huge that anytime I stopped to slow down just for a little bit, that discomfort of that pain of I'm not going to be enough intensified. And so it would propel me and motivate me to just, let's work harder. Let's create something. Let's do something. Let's produce an income. Because if I do that, then I can numb out. But what I began to also realize in all of this was I wasn't connected in my relationships. Like my kids had a mom. And don't get me wrong, I was in my kids' lives. I've always been in my kids' lives. I was emotionally unavailable to my children. Like to actually, if they would come to me for something, if they wanted to share something with me, I would just want to fix it for them instead of actually having the ability to sit with them and to connect with them and walk through with them in the midst of all of this. So it was a little bit over a year. Well, I have begun working with a therapist. I was working with a coach, and like, we noticed a cycle kept going. Every time I would begin to slow down, then something would happen that, like, again, my life got overflowed with work. All of a sudden, everybody needed something from me again. And we noticed this in my entrepreneurship group journey was because I was desiring to step back from my cleaning business and invest more in my coaching business. But it was like a merry-go-round. It was around and around and around we would go. Every time I would set a goal or intention, okay, I'm going to step back and I'm going to focus more on my coaching, then I would need those hits of dopamine. Because if I'm cleaning a house and I go in and I clean it, that's a quick hit because now I solved a problem right then and there and I got paid for it and I can leave again. And I kept feeling so frustrated because I was like, I feel like I'm not being true to myself. I'm not in integrity. I went down a downward spiral. I criticized myself. I shamed myself. I judged myself. I was like, what is the issue? What is going on? And then when I would work my coaching business, it was never enough. I was working it all the time. And it wasn't until I began to do some somatic healing work with a therapist that I hired and a business coach that I hired, because she also does somatic healing, when she's doing business with you. And if you've been a recovering workaholic, I highly recommend you have somebody that does this with you, because obviously you're in the midst of working with the very thing that you've had an addiction to. And so we began to go deeper with inside of myself, and I began to become aware that if I slowed down, that meant I would need to emotionally connect with myself. That would mean I would need to face the discomfort of my emotions, the discomfort of the pain, the wound that had been the driving force. And this isn't just about work. This actually goes with any addiction. Like, and this is why the world loves to be noisy. And this is why people love to be in the noise and the chaos. It can be social media. It can be always saying yes to things that you really have no desire to say yes to, but you don't want to be in the discomfort of yourself because you're feeling so lonely on the inside that you're so scared of even being by yourself because you're searching for hits and you're looking for all these different ways to fill that void, the void in which only God can fill. And until you and I have the ability to actually slow down and surrender and open ourselves up to receive what God has to say about us and to us, then nothing is going to change. Here's the thing, is we have to feel safe in our body in order to do so. And that was, I didn't feel safe in my body to do so. And that's why, like, my head knew, let's slow down and let's shift, create this shift in my life. And now let's come over here and do this. Well, my head would basically detach from my body because my body's like, actually, newsflash, not safe. We're not coming over here. What do you think you're doing? Because if you come over here, what are you? You're not going to feel, you're not worthy. You're not valuable. Who do you think you are to even think that you would be deserving of slowing down and living a different life if you're not going 24/7? And so when I lost my mom, I didn't realize the power of really what was going on and the extent of what was happening. But I do know that, and I've said this and will remind you again today, remember the power of your words. Your words hold a lot of power. And so I remember walking into, and as I'm recording this podcast, tomorrow it's actually going to be exactly a year ago that we took her into the emergency room. And then 9 days later, we lost her. And I remember when I walked into the emergency room, which she was in the exact emergency room that my daughter had been in 2 years prior, like literally 2 years prior. You can't make this stuff up. And I was standing there and I felt dumbfounded. I was like, God, how can this be happening? What are the odds that the date that my daughter had gone into the hospital was the 24th, and then I lost my mom the 25th. But this was 9 days prior, which would have been the 16th, I believe, that I walked in. I was like, what are the odds that I am this close to the exact date that I admitted my daughter to when we had found out she had severe aplastic anemia? I kind of felt like I got slapped in the face. But I remember this defining moment. I'm standing there and I had a bag in my hand and I'm like stunned. I felt like I had gotten betrayed of like, how could this happen? Like, this is my mom now that's in the hospital, and it was my daughter 2 years ago. And I remember looking like at God, not literally looking at God, but like mentally looking at God and saying, this time it's going to be different. Because with her, I also just ran from my pain and I just worked and I just did whatever I could. I didn't slow down in the process. I just kept going and going and going like a hamster on a wheel. And when I told God, I was like, this time is going to be different. Show me how. I don't want to run. For the first time in my life, I don't want to run. I want to connect with my heart. I want to connect with my emotions. I want to actually like walk through this, because I knew in my spirit we were going to lose her. There's just something that you have a knowing, and I knew in my spirit and in my intuition that we were going to, I knew that once she was in there, she was not going to come back home. I didn't know how long it was going to be. And so I showed up. I was there pretty much every day. That was not usual behavior for me at all. Because normally in a high state of stress like that, I would have Like, I would have done everything for everybody except been there in the hospital. And I helped, like, I sat with my mom. I helped with whatever I could. I showed up. It was through the grace of God. Like, God literally stepped in, took over for me. And then when we lost her 9 days later, and I just, like, automatically helped with some of the stuff, setting some of the stuff together. There was moments prior that I had broken down and that I had cried, definitely for sure. But there was this big moment where the dam broke, the river flowed, and it was in front of, like, all the family. And that was not something that I had ever experienced before or ever done before. In fact, there was times where I couldn't cry because Leona was always the strong one. And I started crying and I couldn't stop. And my mom's sister came over to me and she put her arms around me and she said, "Leona, we don't need you to be strong. Let us all be here for you. Let us all help carry you through this. Let us just give you the hug and hold the space for you." And in that moment, something spiritually broke on the inside of me. And I remember I just cried and I cried and I cried. But for the first time in my life, I felt safe to allow somebody to actually be there for me simply by who I was being in my most broken state, not because of what I was doing or trying to be the strong one for them. And then as the journey progressed a little bit, the journey of grief, my kids would kind of call me out from time to time and they would be like, "Mom, like, hey, it's okay. Like, you don't have to be the strong one. Like, share with us how you're feeling. Like, you're so far on the inside of yourself. You're withdrawing so hard and so fast. And we want to walk this with you. We want to be here with you." And I began to realize that one of the biggest reasons also that I had such a high core addiction to work was because I never felt supported. I never felt like anybody would just want to be with me to be with me if I was a hot mess express. I felt like I always had to be serving. It was a very self-sacrificing because I didn't grow up with a mom and I love my mama. This is just looking at the picture of what was happening. She had all of her things that she was dealing with, but I didn't grow up with a mom who had the ability to love and to nurture me. She did love me fiercely in the way that she knew how, but they had the ability to nurture and to nourish me in the way that a daughter needs. And so I grew up basically in the desert. And so whenever nourishment and nurturing came and support came into my life, I would, like, freak the fuck out. I'd be like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna run." My nervous system is like, "Not safe. Let's go. Like, you're not needed here. Somebody wants to give you something." And so if you followed my stories last year, I talked about how I began to realize how I was stopping the blessings from God. I was praying for things, but I was stopping it because I was running from it. Like, no joke, I literally was running from it. And so when with losing my mom, I began to connect with my heart. I began to connect with my body. I began to actually truly experience, feel life at a deeper level. I had been on the journey of it, but this cracked me. Grief cracked me open in such a dark, dark place that it actually got to the root of some of the things that were inside of me that finally came to the light. And out of that could be birthed a deep, intimate relationship with God. And that is where my healing began for me of breaking the addiction to work. I joke and I say my mama finally got her wish because I have finally slowed down in life. Now, whilst I could say to you, "Oh yeah, I just slowed down and everything was happily ever after and all the things," it wasn't. It was a journey and it still is a journey. It was when I really realized that I was really stepping into freedom with it was when I had the ability to sit with people in the midst of their deepest pain and not actually, quote unquote, do something, but feel like I was enough as a person to simply sit with them. It was when I had the ability to take time for myself and, like, go for a walk in nature, go buy myself a beautiful cup of coffee, go take myself out for dinner, go buy myself some beautiful clothes, that my whole nervous system wasn't like, "Oh my God, I gotta do something. Oh my gosh, I'm failing. Oh my gosh, you know, I need to, like, I shouldn't be doing this. I need to go work this and I need to do that. And I need to do this and I need to do that. And it was slowly detaching, slowly detoxing, and slowly my identity being birthed of who God truly created me to be. I am not my work. My identity is not wrapped around my work. My work is a result, like my work is a byproduct, so to speak. It's something that I love to do. I love to serve. I have my cleaning business and I have my coaching business, which now is being shifted, and I am going to step fully into my organization business, and I'm going to birth. Well, my baby has been birthed. I talked about my organization business, but it is fully going to be launching here in a few weeks, which might also already be launched by the time this episode comes out. But what I want to say, as I've been navigating and I've been putting the puzzle pieces together and the structures and the systems for my organization business, I have finally had the ability to sit down and work my business in my hours and then walk away and be present with what I'm doing. And when I began to realize that, I have finally come to this point in my life, I kid you not, I cried. I literally cried because I was like, I have worked so hard to become free from the addiction that I had to work, to the identity that I had, to those dopamine hits that I had, to the discomfort. That was with Winter why I never liked to slow down, because I didn't know who I was. It made me feel unworthy. It made me feel unlovable, which nothing can make you feel a certain way. It is only magnifying what's on the inside of you. So now this winter, I've been like cooking, and I haven't read a book, but I want to read a book. But like, I've been watching movies, and I've been reorganizing some of my stuff in my house, which you could say that's work, but that's actually fun for me. I've been doing some decorating. I have been going to the coffee shops. I have been just allowing myself to be luxurious, sit down with a nice cup of tea, to play some music, and actually just really be connected with myself. Last night, my oldest daughter was at home and I made dinner. I made shrimp. I made baked potatoes and I cut up some cucumbers. And then her and I had a movie night, and we literally were just so content being in the presence of each other. And in the past, I could not have. I would have been so irritable and so angry because I would have, everything in my nervous system would have wanted those hits of satisfaction, the hit of being productive. And so if you're addicted to busyness, or if you're addicted to, like, you feel like work or have any sort of addiction, ask yourself the question, what is the wound that I'm running from? What is the lie that's in you? Because when you begin to look at that and you begin to unpack it, and this is where I'm going to tell you over and over again, don't even for one second think about doing this by yourself, because it's not going to happen. You need people who know how to work with trauma and somatic healing. This is not something that you heal through your mind. It's something that gets healed through your mind, your body, your spirit, and your soul. And I'm just telling you, because you can send yourself into a health crisis if you try to do this on your own. Like, I'm really freaking serious when I say this. It's not something to play around with. And I've always said I will be honest with you guys. And I personally, myself, if you want to coach with me, I will tell you right off the bat that I will bring in other people to help with this, because I am not certified in all the areas to do so, which I'm also shifting. I'm going to keep coaching the clients that I currently have. In only doing so, I will not be taking on new clients from here on out, because I am shifting to doing completely organization business, because my daughter has decided that she wants to become my partner and we are going to run together with this. And by the next episode, we're going to have our name. Today, I have a branding call with my business coach and we're going to like go over some final details. And I can just not even tell you how I am so pumped. I feel like I have a whole case about organization, because I already knew like the statistics, a lot of it, of the importance of having an organized home, which I'm going to be working with corporate people. But what I just want to say is, as I dig into this further, the effects that it has mentally, physically, emotionally, even like health, like wise, as far as our eating, when we live in unorganized states and places, our home, it has such an effect on every area of our life. So with that being said, if you feel message me. I still will communicate in my inbox on my Instagram. If you're listening to this episode and you're like, oh my gosh, Leona, this is so me, or I feel like I see the lie, but I'm not sure where it comes from or whatever, message me, because even though I am not currently taking on new clients, I have coaches in the back of my pocket that I will immediately recommend to you, that I refer to you, and I will put you in the best hands possible. With that being said, I want to remind you that you are absolutely worthy and you're very lovable just the way that you are. And God is so proud of you and the way that He has designed you on a purpose, and that you bring so much value to this world. Thank you so much for tuning in to Unchained and Untamed. I'm confident that you received exactly what you require to unleash your potential and unapologetically own your feminine heart and soul and be the woman that God has created you to be. It's time to take the next step on your transformational journey. Apply what you've learned and know that I am here to support you every step of the way. I'd love to hear what your biggest shifts and ahas were that you received from this podcast. So make sure to shoot me a message and follow me on Instagram at @Schrock_Leona. See you there.